Good morning, everyone. My name is Luke, and I will be your conference operator. Welcome to Promotora de Hoteles Norte 19's second quarter 2024 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please ensure that your full name is correctly displayed on Zoom. If not, please take a moment to edit your display name. I will now turn the call over to Hector Vasquez, the company's Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. We released our second quarter 2024 results yesterday after the market close, which can be viewed on Norte 19 Investor Relations website. We want to remind you that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements. We ask that you please refer to the legal disclaimer in the quarterly report for guidance on this matter. Joining us on today's call is Mr. Luis Barrios, our CEO, and Mr. Santiago Parra, the company's CFO. Luis will begin with some opening remarks, followed by Santiago, who will present the company's financial results. We will then open the floor for questions. Now, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Luis.
Thank you, Hector. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today as we present Norte 19's second quarter 2024 results. Just to note that the ticker still is HCP, and eventually we will change it to represent Norte 19 in some fashion. To begin, I would like to remind you that the strategic evolution and the broader scope of our operations following the transaction of our relationship with Marriott has prompted us to rebrand from Hotel de City Express to Promotora de Hoteles Norte 19. On the first part of the business, we will continue to optimize the performance of our hotel portfolio and take advantage of the opportunity to become a multi-brand management company. This will enable us to expand our presence in LATAM and international markets, catering to both leisure and business segments, as well as other categories, including food service hotels. In addition, launching our distribution platform, which is being converted into a software as a service, which we will become a distribution marketing suite. It is expected to be available for the market in January 25. Finally, our development company will continue to provide the design, development, and project management of all new hotels, turning our asset-light business model into a one-stop shopping for lodging investor services. Since 2019, our average daily rates have surpassed accumulated inflation, with inflation increasing by 30.5% and our rates by 32% over the same period. This action has been a key element to counteract the relevant increases in salaries and the supply chain disruptions, while it has led us to keep expanding our operating margins. The second quarter of 24 marked a period of consolidation and recovery for Norte 19. Key channels and segments continue to improve, including the contact center, corporate agreements, and some direct channels, which have faced some challenges during the transition and the connection to Marriott. However, we expect more production from Marriott direct channels, and it is worth to mention that these channels are crucial as they represent approximately 50% of total reservations, and that at the end of this quarter, they have now returned very close to pre-transition level. Still, with potential to grow as the brand penetrates in the Marriott customer base. Additional reservations through our digital channels have grown in volume since the transition, doubling international travelers to account 30% of the total mix, up from 15 to 18%. Still, there is room for improvement. Starting with our hotel assets, we continue to optimize our portfolio by implementing rate increases above inflation and improving occupancy in markets with growth potential. We are also capitalizing on distribution cost synergy to enhance profitability and return on investment. During the quarter, our portfolio's EBITDA increased by 13% year to year and to the amount of 261 million pesos, with a margin of 27.5%, a 10 basis point increase in year-on-year basis. We are selectively analyzing sales of non-strategic assets, which will contribute to the operating cash flow, giving us the flexibility to keep delivering the company and/or establish a dividend policy in the future. Turning to our regional performance, there has been significant activity in our hotel portfolio in the northern part of the country due to nearshoring. In response to this increase in activity, we have opened a new hotel in Monterrey and will soon launch another in Tijuana. However, recovery across our corridors has been uneven, particularly in the Bajío region, where supply chain disruptions and insecurity have put pressure on the return on invested capital from 10% in 2019. Despite these challenges, we see significant potential for improvement in occupancy rates and profitability in the coming quarters as the auto industry continues to recover. In the operation and management business, we continue to grow through third-party management contracts. Recently, we obtained certifications to operate brands from different segments and chains, such as Choice, IHG, Hilton, Hyatt, Wyndham, Marriott, and Accor. Our goal is to sign agreements with certain investors during the second part of the year, utilizing this portfolio of brands. According to market analysis and comments in different conventions, there is an uncertain demand for institutional operators in the market, and we are well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities with our proven expertise. According to our estimates, there are around 300,000 rooms that could be subject to our services in the technology area. We are expanding our operations to include both these certified brands and independent hotels. We already have several projects in progress and expect to finalize some agreements soon. This potential will grow with pivotal for the operation and management businesses, which for the quarter stood almost at break-even point as expected due to the sale of the brand. With the acquisition of more contracts, we expect financial improvements and higher operating leverage as we develop new management contracts. In this sense, the development business will also benefit as we'll increase our scope and we are able to provide our services to a range of investors, including those associated with the Seed Express portfolio and other brands, both in Mexico and internationally. Our offerings will encompass brand design, concept creation, and project management, ensuring timely, cost-effective, and high-quality properties. Since our inception, we have invested in startups related to the hospitality sector to understand current potential developments of technology within the hospitality industry. This has enabled us to design technology and distribution platforms at much lower costs compared to major providers and competitors. Currently, over 26,000 rooms are connected to our PMS platform, of which 17,600 belong to the Hoteles City Express brands, with the remainder being independent hotels. Our goal is to expand market by digitizing independent hotels and different medium-sized and independent chains, helping them to increase revenues by using state-of-the-art technology, optimize their operations, and reduce costs. As I mentioned before, highlighting there is a significant growth potential leveraging the platform, the distribution platform that we created to become the largest room distributor in our segment in the LATAM region. Currently, we are reprogramming our technology systems to adapt to the current market through a hotel suite called StackUp, available as a software as a service by the end of the year. This distribution platform will feature various models, including channel manager, yield management, customer relationship manager, e-learning, among others. Lastly, I would like to highlight that at the cash flow level, the company has recovered due to savings in the distribution costs through our connection with Marriott's platform and a reduction of interest expense by prepaying debt of $40 million and an amount equal to 240 million pesos, meaning that we have achieved our goal of recovering from the negative impact on the EBITDA in the Operadora following the sale of the brands. We finally did it within a period of 13 months versus 8 months that we mentioned in previous reports. Our vision remains focused on achieving both local and regional recognition, expanding our alternative businesses, capitalizing on market opportunities with our assets-light approach for the medium and long term. This strategy diversifies our revenues by focusing on a fee-based business in management, development, and IT services, both locally and internationally. We will begin to provide more detailed information on each of these business units, providing greater visibility into their performance. Now, I will pass the call to Santiago, who will provide you with more details on the financial results for the second quarter.
Thank you, Luis, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to share with you our results from second quarter of 2024. Turning to the quarterly results, my remarks will be based on Norte 19's second quarter 2024 financial results as prepared under IFRS guidelines. We closed the quarter with a portfolio of 152 total hotels, one hotel more than the second quarter of last year. Of these, 146 were considered established properties, two more than in the second quarter of 2023. We operated 17,533 rooms in the quarter, 166 more than in the second quarter of 2023. At portfolio level, our ADR increased 9.6% year over year to 1,316 pesos, while the occupancy rate stood at 56.4%. Taken together, RevPAR increased by 10.1% compared to last year, closing the quarter at 742 pesos. Record average daily rates led to an increase in the portfolio's RevPAR. Revenue reached 974.3 million pesos for the quarter. This is an 11.3% year-on-year increase and reflects the increase in the average rate across the entire portfolio. Total costs for the quarter increased 9.7% year-on-year to 820.5 million pesos, as hotel operating costs rose due to the higher payroll expenses and other necessary expenses to maintain hotel standards. Nevertheless, this increase is lower than the increase in revenue for the period. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA was 258.1 million pesos, an increase of 11.7% year on year. This resulted in an increase in the margin to 26.5% despite the reduction in operator fee revenues, an impressive outcome. Our comprehensive financing result for the quarter decreased 133 million pesos compared to 203.4 million pesos reported in second quarter of 23. This was primarily due to the refinancing of the syndicated loan, interest rate hedging, and the prepayment of the syndicated loan, on which we obtained better terms and conditions. At the end of the quarter, 91.1% of our total debt was covered by derivative instruments, capping the base rate of our loans at a weighted average cost of 9.3%. As a result, 3,890.4 million pesos of our debt is hedged against interest rate increases. At the end of the last year, our lending banks authorized financial covenants waiver until the fourth quarter of 2024, underlining our strong relationship with them. Financial liabilities increased by 1.9% from 4,253.3 million pesos at the end of the second quarter 23 to 4,297.3 million pesos at the end of fourth quarter 23. This was a result of the combination of loan prepayments and the borrowing of financial credits to complete the investment of the new hotels. Cash and cash equivalents decreased 38.5% year-over-year to 620.6 million pesos. We repurchased approximately 1.7 million pesos of the company shares. Net debt increased by 12.1% versus first quarter of 24 to 3,676.7 million pesos due to the tax prepayment of the brand sale and a slight increase in debt. In closing, the second quarter of 2024 has highlighted our commitment to enhancing financial stability and operational excellence. By making strategic prepayments on loans, we have strengthened our balance sheet and increased our financial flexibility. Despite rising operating costs, our focused revenue growth and effective cost management have led to improved financial performance. With a growing portfolio and increased revenue, we're well positioned to continue growing. Thank you all for your time. Operator, please begin the Q&A portion of our call.
Thank you. We will now conduct a Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the raise hand button located at the bottom of the screen. If you are connected via telephone, please dial star 9. We remind you that all lines have been placed on mute. When it is your turn to ask a question, you will be given permission to speak, and you will then be able to unmute yourself and ask your question. We will now pause for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Ernst Anton Mortenkotter. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi guys, how are you? Congrats on your results. I have just two questions. One is regarding the pricing increases. I was wondering how much of your portfolio have you already managed to increase prices, just trying to understand how much of it can be still, I mean, where do you have some upside potential? And the second one is related to cash flows. In your report, you mentioned that you're already thinking about maybe doing a dividend next year. Wondering how much free cash flow do you expect to generate and in which range would you feel comfortable doing that? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Anton. This is Luis. No, it's Ernest, no?
Sí.
Okay. In regard to the potential to increases, we have about 21, 28 properties in which the market has not recovered fully. And most of them are especially in the Bajío region and some other new openings. So we are, the potential to keep on increasing is really on them, on that side. The rest, we have been feeling, it's not that we're going to push back and reduce rates, but we have seen some pushback from the market to further increases, increases above inflation. The reason is that the economy is kind of softening a bit, and it was even mentioned in several reports and front lines of during this week, and inflation is peaking a little bit. So what we will do is, in the end, I think that we have lost by being aggressive on the rate, which is good, and we have very good margins. In some instances, The break to keep on increasing is on these 25 properties that they have potential, and we'll be doing that as the market permits. And on an overall basis, we are looking at the market, which is slowing a bit. And we have to be cautious on whether to keep on rates aggressively. I would say that we would do it moderately, and the specific market permits. But if there is an increase in rate, it's because the 25 properties that we have in under review, and the market a little bit behind the rest of the economy, those are the ones that will give us a push when that market starts returning. Now, in terms of the cash flow and the dividend policy, we have several things to... According to the cash flow today, the free cash flow that we have, and assuming that we keep on with our plans in respect to the operating profits, occupancy, and rates for the end of the year, We will see that from now on, since we have reduced heavily investing in new properties, you will find that the free cash flow will continue to expand. Now, if you combine that with a potential reduction in rates below the 11.25% of the base rate in pesos, then which we expect towards the end of the year and continuing next one, we definitely see an expansion and the growth of our, obviously, our portfolio in terms of revenues. We see an expansion of the free, a continuous expansion of the free cash flow. In addition, we're trying to cement additional delevering by selling about $200 million pesos of assets in the next, let's say, 3 quarters. And that it used to pay. These are strategic analysis of certain properties to reduce debt, continuing to reduce debt and get rid of the interest expense. The level of debt doesn't worry us. What it worries me is working and that the free cash flow is being used to pay such a hefty amount of interest because of the rate. So we expect the rates to come down. So we're doing several things to be able to consider it, the dividends. One, expand our margins, operating margins. Second, sale of assets, reduction of debt for 200 million approx. And then reduction on rate. That would leave us a free cash flow. First of all, it would give us return us to a lower than 3x net debt to EBITDA. And then, with that happening next year, we will pretend to start with a dividends policy. As to which amount, difficult to say at this point in time, but you might consider something between 10 and 15 million. In our forecast, we probably could sustain that in a general basis.
That is perfect. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Natalia Leo. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Thank you, JP Morgan. So congrats on the results. They were great. I'm just wondering on the last question that they made, Luis, I did not understand. Are you still targeting ADR increases above inflation or remaining cautious even on that front? And I also have a few questions regarding occupancy. So I understand that you see the potential for some gains on occupancy due to being now connected to the Marriott platform, but we've seen a decrease in occupancy in 1Q into Q in your non-FSTA portfolio. So just wanted to understand if occupancy trends overall in the market should soften a bit. And also on your SG&A, we've seen it much more normalized in 1Q and now in this second quarter, if we should expect this level of SG&A to maintain at least for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. The rate is when you have 153 port properties scattered in four countries. When we talk about the rate, I talk about the overall rate as a consolidated number, summarized number. No, and then that is composed in our case about 110 properties, no, for the consolidated numbers. So we would have to, in order to answer you, we would have to go with more detail. But in order not to make it too long, the explanation is there are some hotels that have not recovered the market. Therefore, normally when there's low occupancy, rates are difficult to increase. You can increase by market segment, but the overall increase is below inflation still compared during the 4 years, not only the comparison of the 4 years inflation rate. Now, when that happens, our portfolio will benefit from an additional increase in rate because now you are dividing total revenue with you are increasing the revenue with more rooms installed. Now, so that is from one side. Now, we have been very aggressive and we believe that the connection with Marriott has hurt us a little bit in sales in certain marketing channels or selling channels. And the other is that we have lost a couple of points because probably in some instances we have been aggressive in raising rate versus our local competition. So if you were going to do a consolidated forecast, I would say that we will continue to increase inflation rates according to the coming inflation, but we won't be aggressive in trying to get above the increases, the pace that we had in the last 12 months. This should help us get more occupancy points, and that is a driver for the coming months for to increase revenue. It's been substantially on the side of rate because, I mean, the costs have been amazingly fast to increase, and the prices and pass us the bill on inflation. So, but from now on, I think that we will take a more moderate approach on a case-by-case basis, and that would be more to promote occupancy than increasing rate aggressively. I don't know whether that answers
Yeah,
it.
that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. The SG&A, I will pass the word to Santiago.
Yes, thank you, Luis. Yes, Natalia, we're expecting the SG&A base, cost base, to remain as it is. We have been able to get the increases, for example, in payroll to be stabilized. No, we had increases in the first quarter, and with these increases in rates, we have coped that those increases. So we expect them to be normalized and maintain the levels that we're presenting.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Andres Lomeli. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. I'm Andres Lomeli from LCA Capital. I had two questions. One regarding the interest income generated, because when looking at the income generated from the cash position on an annualized basis, it appears to be generating close to around 5 to 6%. My question is, why is this yield not closer to CETES? Is there a large denominated cash position, or if you could provide some color there, it would be helpful.
Thank you, Andres. This is Santiago. So some of the portion of the cash that we have is in some reserves for the credit lines. So those reserves do not have the interest gains that currently the whole position of cash. So it's not the whole cash position making interest gains. I think that's the explanation. And also, we have been doing investments, and that cash has been going down.
Perfect, very clear. Thank you for that response. My next question is regarding the tax payment due to the sale of brands. We noticed a reduction in the tax payable account in the balance sheet. But on the other hand, we also saw that the company has a significant amount of net operating losses. My question is, why weren't these net operating losses used to avoid paying this tax on the sale of the brands?
Well, I don't know whether it relates one to each other, but in terms of the cash, we paid about 250, 260 million pesos of interest of taxes during this quarter, and that was entirely due to the sale of the brand.
Number.
And that is the reduction. That's why we have a reduction. If you see the reduction of 340 million, roughly 250 are accounted for that, and the other are investments in replacement and in finishing capital contribution to hotel in Tijuana and amortization of debt.
Now, we in terms of net operating losses, Andres, those are in the subsidiaries. And remember that the sale of the brand was at Hotel City Express before, no, the SAB, the holding company. So the losses are down in the subsidiaries and cannot be used for this tax payment.
When you sell a brand, we didn't have the ownership of the brand in the real estate companies throughout the country. They are we didn't have it on the operadora or have it in the holding company, which is the owner of everything. And the tax shelter at the level in the operadora, we didn't have enough losses or whatever, let's say tax shelters, to cope with the sale of such amount.
Perfect. That's perfectly clear. Thank you very much. And congratulations on the results.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Martin Lara. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, good morning, Luis and Santiago. Congratulations for these results. I have the following questions. Could you please talk a little bit about the synergies with Marriott in this quarter? And the second question is, where do you see the EBITDA margin in the second half of the year?
Okay, the first one is the following. When we did the analysis and the analysis of the transaction with Marriott, we did not consider any potential benefit in sales. We justify the value we were selling compared to the EBITDA of the marketing and the marketing business. I mean the brand business that we had in Operadora. No? So when we sold that company, when we sold the brand, the brand was contributing on a contribution margin of about $7 to $8 million a year. If you multiply that by 20, it gets you to 140, 160 million pesos. Now, we justify and we say that we were going to recuperate that loss of EBITDA by means of cost synergies with Marriott. And most of them come mostly from the economies of scale that Marriott has compared to us in terms of managing a distribution platform for 153 hotels and 17,000 rooms. When you go to Marriott, we found out and we knew that they would provide us with economies of scale, their savings in that cost that was being charged to the hotels. So that, and in addition, the fees that you pay to the OTAs and other online agencies and channels that they have better negotiations, better commission structure. So the precise answer is savings come from reduction on the cost of distribution, and secondly, commissions from digital or virtual travel agents, including OTAs. And that is reflected in the margin of the hotels, and it's somewhere between 1% to 2% on sales.
Okay, thank you. And where do you see the EBITDA margin in the second half?
What is the where do we see the margins? Martin, we typically don't give guidance in terms of I mean, you can see the historic EBITDA margins that we have had in the past and pre-pandemic levels. So I mean, no?
Pre-pandemic levels, what was it? 28 to 30.
Okay, perfect.
So that should give you a more some guidance on it.
Okay, thank you.
But we still have a potential in revenue and occupancy. And normally at this level of occupancy, 90% of revenue, 90 to 80% of additional incremental revenue flows down directly to the EBITDA.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Luis and Santiago.
Our next question comes from Felipe Barragan. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my question for the call. This is Felipe Barragan from BTG. My question is more macro. So given that there's been a change of administration, just wanted to hear your thoughts on if you guys have gotten in touch with the new administration. I understand that in the next hour or so, we might know the next Secretary of Tourism. So just hear your thoughts on what your outlook is with the new administration and how this might entail to potentially getting Fibra Stay out into the market. Thank you.
Well, you're making a hard question. Obviously, I didn't vote for that party. So my answer is more inclined as a business person that's living a political change that it's supposed to be a continuation of the previous one. But in that sense, we perceive, and this is not necessarily my opinion, is what I get from my peers, from the private, the entrepreneurs and business guys in different meetings. We are assuming that the names in the cabinet are kind of giving you some color as to what the kind of persons and path the president, the new president expects to follow. We believe it's going to be a more educated, rational, number crunching analysis type of government than the one we had in the previous year. In addition, the problems are that the country is going to end up with a higher leverage and debt than we had before, especially in the last year. The previous year was outrageous on that, and the treasurer of this country will have less leeway to do investments. And to probably, and that's why probably the president has mentioned several times that she's getting closer to the private sector and she would like to go into clean energy and promote private sector investments. So too soon to tell. I think we're getting a country in which there's more debt. Yes, there is more purchasing power in the hands of the consumer. That's for sure. The second is that growth is going to be well below what they expected. Even this year is going to be difficult to reach the 1% growth, and with some inflation still. So our attitude is one of wait and see. We will drag our feet to invest in new properties unless there is a real reason for. And the other is that, as you see, our stock is in the value or undervalue that is it, as you see it, it's mostly because our earnings that comes from the hotels are being used with a very high, as we are being done the valuations with a very high cap. And that high cap is the high interest that we have in this country today, 6 to 7% in real rates. It's an amazing rate that doesn't promote anyone to do new investments, especially in real estate, where you have some long ramp-ups. And to get the ROICs that you're pretending that it takes 3 years at the cost of 11.25% plus the spread of the bank is too high. So I don't know whether that answers what you're looking, but I cannot say more. We are under the expectation of what happens in September 1 with the new Congress. And we need a solid plan that the president should present sometime in the first 60 days of his of her office.
Got it. That was very clear. Definitely a tough question. I appreciate the answer. Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Armando Rodriguez. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Thank you, everyone, for the call. This is Armando Rodriguez from Signum Research. Congratulations on the results. Well, my question is about the pipeline for hotels that you are showing deferred in the development stage, particularly in City Express Plus in Mérida and Guadalajara and Mexico City, Puebla, for example. And my question here is if this is related to or subject to a financing strategy to start the development of these hotels, what we should expect on these assets in the following quarters. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's an interesting, important question. Yes, what we have been trying to say is that if we are going to deliver the company, if we have the current valuation, why I would ask you, why invest in an asset when the value that the market recognizes for such assets is 30% of historic cost? So, and the reason is that the cap rates on which we are being valued are market caps, which are around 14 to 15%. And new properties don't yield 12 to 15% in the first 3 years. And then in the best case, we stabilize, our forecasts are always somewhere around 12 to 14% ROIC. So today we are not looking at caps, which are attractive for investment. The best business is to pay down debt. So what are we doing with our cash? Pay down debt. And then those properties that we have in the balance sheet, those are pieces of land, as Santiago mentioned, we are planning and we have had a continuous effort to deliver the company by selling a portion of those assets, which at this point in time and probably market-wise, they are not necessarily strategic. So we have those on sale. We have sold several. Just this year, we did a transaction in Chile, and we sold two properties that we had. And we are doing some transactions and working in some transactions with private investors to buy those pieces of land. They are very commercial. They're very small, well located. And again, this point in time is a matter of value. If we have a value of 4 pesos 50 cents, which is 5 times EBITDA, and that 450 represents 30 to 40% of cost, the cost of the share of the stock, valuing the assets, not even the operating company, not even the development company, not the software that has positive EBITDA, just the assets, we are being traded at 35 cents. Why should I do a new hotel at 100% cost? And the day we open it is valued at 35 cents to the dollar, to the peso invested. It's hard to swallow that kind of strategy, but we're doing the best to protect the cash flow of the company and the value for investors. And as you can imagine, we are not necessarily satisfied with our investors that we're trading at 30, 40 cents to the dollar and even below replacement value. Replacement value is probably 30% above that, above the 12 to 14 pesos, that is the book value of the stock. So that is the reason.
Perfect, Luis. Very, very, very interesting. Thank you very much for your answer. Yes.
Our next question comes from the line of Luis Octavio Arias. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hello, everybody. My name is Luis Octavio Arias from Sigma Research. And my question is that in the second quarter report, it's mentioning that you have 326 million in debt maturing in the next 12 months, and you currently have 620 million in cash and equivalents. Could you please explain how you plan to manage this debt? Are you considering if refinancing options or any strategies to cover this amount?
Thank you, Luis Octavio. This is Santiago. Yes, we typically go refinancing our loans, and when we have these loans coming to maturity, we typically are talking with our banks and refinancing them. So we're in the process of doing that. In the last semester, we did two refinancing of loans that were at co-investment level. No, so they're subsidiaries that we hold 50% of that interest, and the debt is consolidated under our balance sheet. So yes, we're always in the process of refinancing our debt.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
We have not received any further questions at this point, so that concludes our question and answer. I would now like to hand the call back over to Luis Barrios for his closing remarks.
One final announcement that we would like to talk before we close the session is that the company has been working on a succession plan for the CEO. And we have been working with the board, working with externals, and we have done all the due diligence. And since the new CEO is going to arrive in September 1, we will not be able to tell you until the next call. So we are implementing a succession plan, which has been worked since the last year. I will remain as executive chairman and will be in charge. I will still have full operations powers. And we are inviting operations power. I will still be serving as a person to do the soft transition with the new CEO. The new CEO is Leonardo Schlesinger. He will join us on September the 2nd, and he will be in charge and he will have the full position of CEO. I don't misunderstand what I said before. He will have full power, but he'll have me with him for the coming years if necessary, and do a soft transition. I will be an executive chairman and will be devoting most of my time to help this transition, and in addition to devote more of my time to business development and investor relations. We have several plans there for the launching of the StackUp platform, as well as to help the organization get and grow fast and accelerate the growth in terms of relationship in the market with the chains, with investors, to get the management contracts to grow. It's an important change. I've been CEO and chairman for 22 years, obviously as a founder, and now it's time for the company in this special chapter, especially that we went to the pandemic. We grew a lot until the pandemic, huge pace with profitability growth every year. We got into the pandemic. We were almost busted, but we came out strong. We finalized our restructurings. The cash flow of the company, the free cash flow is already positive and growing. The financial structure is reasonable. We still have a little bit of work to do. And now it's a change in the sale of Marriott. It became a very strategic decision. And now it's time for this new change of Norte 19. So together with Dr. 19, I will become executive chairman as of September 2nd. and we will have Leonardo Schlesinger as our new CEO. He has a great background, very solid education and experience in Mexico, managing several units, and it's well related to the banking sector. So we are very happy to have Leonardo join the group, and I will do my best to babysit during this period, whatever it is, and I will remain still as chairman and executive, as an executive within the company, present in the calls and present with the customers, investors, et cetera, et cetera. It is an important message, so it's better to say it in person than to probably read it in the news in the coming weeks. So now, thank you all for participating in today's call. We are pleased with the progress of our transition to Norte 19 and the growth opportunities it brings. Our focus on optimizing our hotel assets, expanding our operation services, driving development projects, and enhancing our technology platforms position us well for the future. Thank you for your continued trust and support as we work to generate sustainable value for our shareholders. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to reach out.
That concludes today's call. You may now disconnect. Thank you.